Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. You know what comes next, right? Good evening. Hope and pray you're well. I do. Spiritually, most of all. Emotionally, mentally. A lot of mental health needs out there right now. And finally, physically. Yes, physically is the last of the bunch, of the four. Needs to be, usually is not. Usually physical healing and physical wellness is what we think of, right? And that's what we want. But so many people are physically well, and they're not emotionally, spiritually, or mentally well. So pray you are well in every facet of the every dimension of our being, but especially spiritually. And the way that we are well spiritually is that the second part of my blessing, always in this podcast, I pray that you are well and filled. This is how we're well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul is not because it is well with everything else, but it's well because I am filled with the fullness. I am filled with the person and the power. I'm filled with the living and loving Spirit of a living and loving God. So I pray that indeed you find yourself filled today to the max, filled with the Holy Spirit. I really do pray that. And thank you for tuning in. I never know who is listening. I hear some comments from time to time. I get some texts. I do appreciate that, but I really don't know most of the time. So, but I always have a blast. We are walking our way through the book of Acts. We are jumping in Acts 5. 1 through 11 is today, and it's a doozy, I promise you. And you already know it. You've read it, and you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And so we'll take another look at it here, a little deeper look at it. I'm calling it up now for whatever reason. My computer is not being cooperative. I don't know. I'm going to have to say, okay, I've got a new phone that I've had for 1,000 years, and I haven't transferred anything yet. I need to. So I need to do that soon and very soon. But also I have a computer that at the same time is just simply not working sometimes. And I've only had it like 3 years, 4 years. I know I'm probably hard on my stuff. I use it all the time. I mean, like study all the time, read all the time. But at the same time, it should be built to last a little longer, shouldn't it? Anyway. All right, enough of that. So, hey, I'm going to pray, get us going, because we got a lot to cover in our Acts 5. Again, I think, yeah, it's Acts 5, 1 through 11. I'll be looking probably, again, at the NIV. Somebody's asked me just recently, why do you do the NIV here lately? You had been doing the NLT, and I had. And I still love the NLT, especially for preaching. But I've been preaching a lot from the NIV, and it just, I don't know, just all I can say is, I think just being led by the Holy Spirit, right? I'd study from almost every translation known to mankind. More importantly, I try to study from the original language. But for instance, the book I am trying so desperately to write and finish, the book is going to be based on the NRSV. So the book that I'm writing on the book of, in the book of Romans, Tracking the Spirit. Through Romans, Tracking the Spirit is the name of the book. So that's what we're hoping to finish by the end of the year. Pray for me on that, because the end of the year for a book comes much sooner than the end of the year, much, much sooner. So trying to figure all that out. But anyway, trying to really be led by the Holy Spirit in all this. And this is how you develop a deep and profound relationship with the very one who lives within you. You listen to the whisper, you feel the nudge, you want to experience that just gentle poke, just a very, you just want to be so super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't really want to be super sensitive people in a bad way. We sure want to be super sensitive people in the supernatural way to the Holy Spirit. So, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for the incredible opportunity to do this podcast. Thank you for the incredible book called Acts. Thank you for the incredible chapter called 5. And thank you for the incredible work of your Spirit in us now, then, and continuing to work in us as a church. We ask and pray, Lord, you continue to bless and encourage us. Lord, use this word today to inspire us. Use this word, I pray, to fill us. And use this word, I pray, to do exactly what you want to do. And that is, Lord, to continue to sanctify us and make us more like you. Make us more like you, Christ. So we love you so very much and ask and pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, don't forget the gala, August the 27th, 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks now, a little less than 2 weeks from probably when you'll listen to this, but 2 weeks from today when I'm taping it. Please, please, please pay attention to that, man. We'd love to have you there. It's going to be great. We got to get some great announcements, really big announcements. I mean, like really, it's going to be a big deal. So we want you there. Check out the Joshua Center website, joshuacenter.org. And, but also, if you're interested in class, if you're interested in learning at a deeper level and a very different kind of class, we would love to have you there. It would be amazing. So, all right. And there's lots and lots of people you can be asking and talking to about some testimonies about how the Joshua Center has changed their lives, has touched them, and has inspired them. So we'd love to have you a part of the Joshua Center. All right. Here we go. Acts 5. Let me just read it. I'm going to read the story, and it just kind of gives us the flavor of it. And then we'll jump into all the different pieces and parts of it. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Now, the also is important there because it ties us back to chapter 4, when Barnabas sold his property. In fact, it's even the same language. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. So even the language brought it to the apostles' feet is, that's the language is in chapter 4. That Barnabas does the same thing. That Barnabas has brought his land to the apostles' feet. And there's no sin just yet. Now, you're going to jump to verse 3, and it's like sin instantly. Boom. But there's no sin just yet that's mentioned. The sin is the motive, right? You'll get to that. So, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. Okay? And he brought the rest and put it as the apostles' feet. Okay, good stuff so far. Not. So then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Woo! When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I think Peter was among the most surprised. I really do. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Now about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband Ananias. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" There it is right here. Okay, here it is. This is the revelation. This is the revealing. This is it. This is the unveiling. Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said. That is the price. Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. And they're coming in right now to carry you out also." I added a little flavor to that, but that's also part of the Hebrew, the Greek understanding. They're coming in now. That's what he's saying. Listen to the feet of the ones coming in right now to carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the same young man who came in and carried out Ananias, those young men came in and found her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. At least they ended together. Woo, great fear, I guess, seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. All right, so we'll continue the story next week. Woo! A lot of stuff here to cover. I think, you know, kind of have, I think you know, you should know, and I hope you know, but let's walk through it. All right, let's walk through it together. So the name of this podcast at this moment, unless I change it, is The Blasting and the Blessing. The Blasting and the Blessings. The Blasting and the Blessings. The blasting is the fire of the Holy Spirit falling down, the fire of God, you know, taking out Ananias and Sapphira. The blessings part is partly what we're going to find next week, but also the blessing is now. There's a blessing here. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this whole podcast. There's a great blessing in this. And yes, the blessing continues after verse 11. And you'll see the blessing again next week with great power was manifest, miracles and all that. Great. But the blessing is also right here, right now. So the blasting and the blessing, the blasting and the blessing, that's the name again of the podcast. So this is the first need for discipline. So there's a lot of firsts here. This is the first time that the church is mentioned as the church. And that's a little bit later, I believe. No, it's right there in verse 11. Great fear seized the whole church. First time that the word church is used in the book of Acts, all right? But it's the first act of discipline. It's the first need of discipline. Think about it. Beforehand, it was, you know, had been operating in fellowship and great love. But here, let me make this statement. The church has never been hindered or harmed by opposition from without. In fact, when there is opposition from without, you already saw that. You saw the opposition of the Sadducees. You saw the opposition from the Roman Empire. You saw the opposition from the outside. What happens to the church when the opposition's from the outside? It grows. It expands. It strengthens. It blossoms. It blooms. It explodes with Holy Spirit power. When there is opposition from the outside, the church is never hindered nor harmed. But the church has been perpetually harmed and hindered from all the perils from within. Come on. All the stuff within. When we argue about stuff, when we play devil's advocates, when we are full of pride and full of power and full of possessiveness and full of jealousy and full of control and money is our number one factor and our opinion matters more than the Holy Spirit's will. All of those things within the life of the church. And I'm speaking from 30 years of experience as a pastor. I'm also speaking just simply from the annals of history, but I'm also speaking for someone who has read the book of Acts and who's read the Bible a few times. Nothing has ever hurt the church from outside. The hurt and the harm has come from the inside, right? Perpetually. See, and this always has been the case. And this is something this is where I think there still needs to be more blasting, right? We'll see that here in just a moment. But there needs to be more blasting in the church, I think, sometimes for us to make sure that the blessing continues, right? So the sin, okay, their sin is not in the not giving. Listen, this is going to be really important too. The sin, Ananias' and Sapphira's sin was not in the not giving. Or not even in the keeping some. That wasn't the problem. You saw that being revealed when Peter asked Sapphira. It was in the pretending, listen to this, it was in the pretending that part was all. Now I want you to listen to that again. If I were writing that, I would say read that again. Listen to this again. Their sin, guys, was in the pretending that part was all. Wow. This is also known as hypocrisy. Yep, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is at the top of the list for things God hates. Number one, I do believe, is legalism. Legalism binds us. It is literally spiritual constipation at the highest level. It binds us. It keeps us from just simply being the kind of people that God expects us to be, and loving and kind and gracious, living in the fruit of the Spirit, developing as true disciples of Christ. Instead, now we become stale and stagnant, and we become all focused on rules and laws and regulations, and even start adding some called the The halakha, the Hebrew word halakha, meaning the extra. We add stuff to the word of God. So yeah, legalism is horrible. Legalism is binding. Legalism is dastardly in the kingdom. Right behind that, it's almost like 1A and 1B, guys. 1B has to be hypocrisy, pretending something that isn't. We're trying to, and this is where the issue is. The issue is that Sapphira and Ananias pretended that part of their gift to the church was all they had, and it wasn't. That's the issue. That's the issue. You know, I've seen it, you know, I say this at the church from time to time, but man, when we sing I Surrender All at the church, that great hymn, I surrender all, I surrender. Most of the time we're singing, I surrender some. But we're singing, I surrender all. Listen, when we sing or profess that we've surrendered all and we've only given a part of our lives to the kingdom, then we sin the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. Listen. When we sing, I surrender all, or when we've only given part of our lives, or when we profess that we've given all, and we've only given a part of our lives to the King and to the service of His kingdom, then we sin the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. I don't remember this quote. I don't know who said it years ago. I remember reading it. I want to say Dennis Kinlaw said it at a sermon 1,000 years ago when I was in seminary. You know how things just stick in your mind, things. Now I loved Dennis Kinlaw, loved his voice, loved his preaching. And all the great saints of Asbury lore, Dennis Kinlaw was one of those for me. Someone said, and I'm going to attribute it to Dennis Kinlaw. I don't know, but we'll say Dennis Kinlaw. If the church practiced discipline today as it did in Acts 5, there'd be many a dead man and many a dead woman at the end of each service. Wow. Woo! Yeah, I'll give Dennis Kinlaw credit for that. If the church practiced discipline today as it did in Acts 4, and maybe even more so if God, we'll come to that here in just a moment. We'll come to why that still doesn't happen. We'll actually ask that question. We'll try to answer it. But if God still practiced that supernatural divine kind of discipline that he did in Acts 5, there'd be many a dead man and many a dead woman at the end of each service. Wow. So let me kind of come back, bring us back into positive. Honesty never makes God angry. It never does. Be honest with God. It never makes God. Hypocrisy always does. I'll say that again. Honesty never makes God angry. Hypocrisy always does. Be honest. Be truthful with your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions. This is why I've had to tell people many, many times, admit that you hate someone. Goodness gracious. You don't think the Psalms talks about how David and the other psalmists hated people, hated the Amalekites, the Canaanites, hated those evil people. You don't think that we can admit that and confess that? And if you stay in that, then there's probably a problem. If you don't confess that and repent of that and really let the Holy Spirit cleanse you of that, then yeah, there's a problem. But until then, sometimes we just are faking it. We have so much fakery in our church. We have so much fakery in our own lives. And that's where I think this is really the heartbeat of this passage is fakery. Stop the fakery. End the fakery. Be real. Be authentic. Be genuine with God first, with those closest with you next, and then with everyone else the third, right? Not everyone in the third place gets to hear what you tell the first place, which is God. And not necessarily does everyone in the second place get to hear everything that you tell the first place, God. Second place is your deep relationships, your spouse, accountability partners, maybe family, maybe deep friends in the church. I don't know. Being careful now, that doesn't mean you just yammer, gab, and tell everybody everything. That's just dumb. But it does mean that we have to be honest. And this is the heartbeat of Acts, the beginning of Acts 5, is honesty is never going to make God angry. Honesty is always honoring to God. Listen, honesty is always honoring to God. Hypocrisy never is, and hypocrisy always makes God angry. So these two, if you think about the early church in Acts 4, there's three kind of thoughts that kind of come out. One is they're just this community of love, and they were choosing love over self. Also, they were, well, children of light, if you will. They were people of light. They were choosing light over darkness. But they're also choosing heavenly things over earthly things. That's why they were surrendering their earthly things, okay? Nothing was compulsed. Nothing was put to law. Nothing was put to... But listen, these things they were choosing. So what did Ananias and Sapphira choose? They chose self over love. They chose dark over light. And they chose earthly over heavenly. Whenever we start doing that and still call ourselves part of the kingdom, something is wrong. Amen? And again, we have to go back to compare to Barnabas in Acts 4, like I mentioned earlier. Barnabas gave sold the property and gave the money at the apostles' feet rightly. Ananias and Sapphira tried to imitate that, but not with the right motive. You can imitate a lot of people, but if you don't have the right motive, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. So just a couple of quotes here. My gosh, these are just so good. Again, some of this comes from the book I'm reading from G. Campbell Morgan. But I'll read one passage from it that's just powerful as we close in just a moment. How flaming is the power of holiness? I love that quote. That's not my quote. How flaming is the power of holiness? It is the supernatural purity of the church on display. That's what we see. And I love this. One of the most unnatural things, oh, please hear this, church, listen to this. It is one of the most unnatural things is that man should live in the church professedly in the name of Christ and continue to live in impurity. Holiness is pure. Holiness is this beautiful purity. It's not puritanism. It's not stuffy kind of legalism. But it is pure and it's holy. It's beautiful. So this supernatural act of Ananias and Sapphira being crispy critters, you know, zapped like bugs and bug zapper, and bug zappers. But this supernatural purity is what's on display. And it's one of the most unnatural things in the world that any of us should live in the church professedly as a Christian following Christ and yet continue to live in impurity. Listen, Ananias' fakery could not live in that pure room. Ananias' fakery could not live in that same room. In fact, I will say it was either going to be either Ananias or the Spirit had to go. Either Ananias or the Spirit had to go. I just think that we have to reduce and remove all form of fakery and pretense. And it's hard. It's true. I mean, I know. But when the church is so focused on other things, the church is so focused on material things and worldly things, then it can't even be focused on the real things. And then we got to talk about safe space and safe place and trust and vulnerability and transparency, right? Who do I trust and who can I share? All those things are big, big factors in this. And the church was pure in that. And I think that's why the punishment was so swift and so decisive. Because the purity was so, the early church had to be known and had to know. It had to be known for its purity, but it also had to be, the church had to know that purity was of the utmost importance. The Holy Spirit purity and the Holy Spirit holiness had to be upheld at all costs. And so I think that's why the swiftness and the suddenness of this and even the hardness of it. Listen, the church, if it's dominated by the Holy Spirit, it should be one mastered by his love, shouldn't it? If the church is dominated by the Holy Spirit, it should be walked out in the light, shouldn't it? And if the church is dominated by the Holy Spirit, it should be energized by his life and purity, shouldn't it? If the church is dominated by the Spirit, it should be mastered by love and walked out in the light and energized by purity and life, the life of Christ. So I just think we have to understand that is just such an important part of the early church, and that's such an important key for us as Christians moving forward, understanding what it will take and what it should take to continue to live in this holy life of the Holy Spirit. I think Peter, I said this, I wonder if Peter was one of the most surprised men in that room. I really do. I just wonder if it's like, whoa, what just happened? What just happened? Let me end here with this quote. It is straight from the book I'm reading, G. Campbell Morgan. Just really, really incredible stuff here. Just listen to this as we kind of answer the question, or at least try to answer the question, why isn't it happening now? It's a little bit long, but that's okay. It's really good. This was a moment of the purification of the church. This was an act of discipline by which a man who would have spoiled the church's fellowship and paralyzed its power by polluting its purity was swept on one side. Through all the story of God's dealing with men, it will be found that the beginning of some new departure such as this has been characterized by an act of sudden judgment. The question is often asked, listen to this now, why has this not continued? If the church had continued to live as a whole in that atmosphere of holiness and purity, that discipline would have been maintained. G. Campbell Morgan says the discipline would have been maintained if the church had continued. But what happens in the book of Judges? Yeah, what happens with idolatry of Moses' day? Come on, guys. The church, listen, the church has become dangerously weak in the matter of discipline because we have welcomed altogether too carelessly men into our fellowship who are not of us. And as the mixed multitude was the perpetual curse through all the years to the Hebrew nation, so too the mixed multitude in the fellowship of the Christian church has been and still is the supreme curse of the Christian church. Far better the 300 men that lapped than the 32,000 who first gathered around Gideon. I look back with wonder and astonishment and amazement and ever-increasing awe at that awful atmosphere of the purity of the early church in which a lie could not live and in which the judgment was swift, sudden, sure, appalling, awful, direct, but all by the hand of God to protect the church. Wow. I'll let that be the last word.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.